Welcome to this week's episode of Sports Girls Podcast. I'm your host, Denise O'Flaherty, and joining me this evening is our regular pundit, Limerick's own Adrian O'Sullivan. Sully, hard luck to Westmeath, but you've had a great year in the hurling, getting promoted and also getting to the Joe McDonagh Cup Final and the last eight of the All-Ireland.
Look, I don't think there was any hard luck in it, really, you know. I think Leash showed yesterday that they were the best team in the Joe McDonagh by, I suppose, flying the flag for the McDonagh teams and knocking Dublin out of the championship.
Yeah.
They were a better side last Sunday in Cove Park. There's no two ways about it. I was only talking about it yesterday. It's very unusual to have a team from the so-called second tier where you can literally rattle off all their forward names. So, Ras King, Chad Dwyer, Picky Maher, Willie Dunphy, Aaron Dunphy. Like, they just roll off the top of your tongue, lads who are, you know, seasoned Fitzgibbon campaigners and things like that. And look, they were a top class side, and so they were too good for us on the day. Yesterday was what it was, you know, playing Cork. We ran into a serious challenge. It's very difficult to, I suppose, pick the guys up after losing on the Sunday and go out again. It's a slightly different dynamic if you've won to try and drive
that's
it on to another level again. And look, Cork are a serious side. They were frightening up close. Just their athleticism, their strength, the speed they move the ball, their skill levels. It was a real, real lesson, you know. So, yeah, look, I suppose once the dust settles down, we'll have agreed that we had a good season, you know, getting promotion and getting to the final. But look, all our lads are real competitors and are real winners, and they won't be happy having, I suppose, finished the week on a, or the year, I suppose, on a slightly lower note. But look, it's sports. We'll regroup. We'll take a few weeks off, and the planning has started for next season already. You just have to go again and drive it on again.
That's it.
Looking forward to it again after a couple of weeks off, you know.
That's it, exactly. We'll talk about Camogie now, and we'll go through the results over the last two weekends and then talk about things. Saturday the 29th of June in the senior group 1, Kilkenny 217, Offaly 27, Limerick 118, Wexford 110, and then in group 2, Tipperary 411, Waterford 214.
The start of the Waterford this game is right up there with the best Camogie games I've ever seen, best hurling games I've ever seen. It was just a rip-roaring game from start to finish. Two top teams, which I think it's fair to call Waterford and Tipperary now, just going at it. Liz's refereeing has left it slow, and some outstanding individual performances. You could name 20 players, but it really turned into a Bet Carton versus Caught the Van. And look, you know, I think the All-Star Spectres really are filling four other jerseys, aren't they, already, even at this stage of the year. Like, them two are nailed on to win again. They've just been absolutely outstanding from every first minute of championship to this weekend as well. Two of them were brilliant again. And yeah, outstanding game. Waterford, I suppose, De La Rue, the four goals. I mean, it's not often you score 2-14 in Camogie and lose. It was one of the highest scores of the weekend. And to be beaten. But they conceded two early goals and two early
that
goals
was it,
in the second half. And spent the whole game battling to come back. But look, Waterford, I know Donald is a proud man and a competitor as well, and he won't be happy with the defeat, but you have to be happy with the level of performance they produced. And look, there's some cracking young players coming up as well, so fair play to them. I suppose the Offaly Kilkenny game, like, the scoreline doesn't do Offaly justice. I think I was at the Galway game when they played, and they took a heavy beating, and Galway were full value for it. I don't feel like Kilkenny were 10 points better than Offaly last Saturday. Some bizarre refereeing in that game as well, I thought. I've been kind of, I suppose, soft on referees the last couple of weeks in the podcast, saying levels have improved and stuff like that, but some mind-boggling decisions in that game, and two red cards. Like, you very rarely see two red cards in hurling games.
Yeah.
Never mind in Camogie. There wasn't a bad blow struck in that game. The two red cards is just, I don't know, it's just terrible. But look, Offaly will be happy that they competed well. Their game this weekend obviously was called off, but they have, I suppose, a winner-takes-all battle now against Wexford to avoid the relegation playoff next weekend. And then Limerick, look, absolutely delighted for Limerick. It was a big, big win. They were slow to get going, but they really finished strongly. So I'm just delighted for Declan Nash, Darragh O'Grady. They kind of took it over last year when things weren't going too well in the camp and steadied the ship, and they got their just rewards. First ever quarter-final since the new format changed. I suppose, look, I've been involved in Limerick down through the years. There's a lot of people who that win and mean a lot to, like, Kevin Costello, Willie Banks, Rose McMahon, Sean Condon, Liz Hennessy, all these people behind the scenes in Limerick who put in massive, massive work when nobody else wanted to do it, and Joe Quaid as well. So all these people who just took it to a different level, and look, I'm just delighted for all them. Niamh Mulcahy had 11 points as well. She should have been nominated for an All-Star, awarded an All-Star a long, long time ago. Hopefully they'll give a good account of themselves in the knockout stages. We know the All-Star selectors don't really care about anything until the quarter.
Yeah.
And that she'll be up there for a position in the forwards, the All-Stars. Just absolutely delighted for them. Look, they have two games left in that group now against Galway and against Kilkenny, and like that's the best preparation they can get for the quarterfinals. They'll be hoping, I suppose, to finish second in the group and maybe get a perceived easier quarterfinal. It's looking like they're going to end up playing Tipperary or Waterford. So yeah, look, just absolutely delighted for Limerick, and fair play to, as I said, to Declan and Dara and the boys there. It's just doing a savage job, and all the words you hear coming back to the Limerick camp at the moment is just positive stuff, that they're really enjoying it. It's a great mood in the camp, putting huge work in there, so fair play to them.
Yeah, we'll then move on to the intermediate. In Group 1, Dublin 214, Kildare 11, and Galway 111, Cork 18. The Westmeath Antrim match was abandoned, and both teams wanted to play the game, continue on with it, but unfortunately, rules are rules, and the game had to be abandoned.
Yeah, the rule is if there's a delay of more than 15 minutes, that the game has to be called off. And look, I do see why. I mean, it's very difficult if you have been stopped for a long time to get going again, and if you've been standing around, and the other side of it is then that Antrim had come all the way down to Mullingar, or Kinnegad it was on, and, you know, the expense of that, and what's going to happen now, the refixture and cost, and, so, okay, rules are rules, and that's fine, but when both teams want to play on, surely common sense comes into it. The referee, it was actually Colin McAllister, the hurling referee, was happy enough. He'd travelled all the way up from Cork for it, and it just seems like a bizarre decision on the day. Feedback from Johnny, actually, on Colin McAllister, I think they had Justin Heffernan this week as well, the hurling referee, said it was absolutely superb, just the difference, just let it flow, let it play away like a hurling match. Wasn't a bad stroke in the game, and just really made a spectacle out of both games. And look, that's what you want, you know. Look, you can campaign for rule changes and stuff like that, but the referees just take it upon themselves to let the game flow a little bit. So there wouldn't be any need for rule changes. Just let them play away, you know. I think you can see the results of it, but it's a real positive move. Like, Colin McAllister, in my eyes, is a top referee. He didn't make the Lee McCarthy panel this year for the referees, and he's back with into the Camogie now giving a hand. I think that's superb. So fair play to Colin, and look, the more hurling referees that come across, I think the better it is for the game.
Yeah, because
that said, Leeds was brilliant in the Offaly, or in the Waterford Tip game as well, I thought, and left the flow as well. So look, not against the current Camogie referees either, but it is great to see it coming in, you know.
Yeah, because players want the game to flow, and I remember Carol O'Leary was telling us about the different changes, and a lot of them would like to see some of the changes from hurling, you know, being adapted into the Camogie and letting the game, as we said, flow. And as you said, the hurling referees, they kind of know what the players want themselves.
Yeah, exactly. You know, look, you know, we can be negative enough at times, but I suppose that's a positive thing. I think maybe the one pity about the Waterford Tip game, I watched it on the stream, Littlewoods had on, like, there's only maybe 100 people watching it, but I think, like, the Women's World Cup has shown this week that if you put it out there, people will watch it. Like, I've never seen so many people talking about women's soccer. Joy, there's, like, even going down to the local there the other night, the sun was shining, the games were on the telly. There was a proper World Cup buzz around, you know, that buzz you get with the World Cup on, and everyone's talking about Chile and Nicaragua and teams you've never heard of for 3 years and 11 months of the year. And there's that buzz around the Women's World Cup at the moment. It's just such a shame that there isn't some sort of a deal done, whether it's with RTE or with TG Cahir or AIR, to just get all these group games on terrestrial telly, put them out there. And if you put them
or
out,
even do a roundup, Sully.
Ways about it.
Do a roundup on the games, even. You know, something simple.
In fairness, I suppose the Sunday game, I've noticed the Sunday game coverage
is
better this year, and that they're doing a bit more of a roundup and stuff like that. It's still, in my eyes, a little bit tokenistic.
Yeah.
And I do know in the background that the Camogie Association are paying RTE to do that and not the other way around. Now, I could be wrong if the Camogie Association want to contact us and correct me on that, but I have heard on the grapevine that that's the reality, is that they're actually paying RTE to put the game out there. So it's it's almost like a marketing spin from the Camogie Association. But look, you know, I'd sit down and watch the likes of that Waterford Tip game any day of the week. It was just a superb contest, and you know, I think it'd be good for the profile of Camogie, and good for the, I suppose, the perception of the game in the mainstream media if the, if these things were put out there. And the 20x20 campaign is on now. You know, can't see, and it, that really is true. Like, you just need to get it out there and maybe be a little bit smarter with their commercialism, I suppose.
And the thing about it is, don't say, oh, sure, look at what girls can do. Just say, this is athletes, you know, give them their proper title. It's not, you know, female players 100%.
Or women. No, 100%. You know, like, I've no real interest in soccer, being honest with you. I'm a bit of a closet Liverpool fan, but...
I know, you can move the closet now after the Champions League.
Yeah, exactly. But, so, like, I watched the World Cup, the Women's World Cup, as an event. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's women playing or men playing, it's the fact that you get to know the characters, you know. The American team were, I suppose, controversial at that, but like Alex Morgan and these, actually, once you learn about the characters, it doesn't really matter whether they're male or female. Once there's some sort of a story to go with the game, you start getting interested in it, you want to see how they're doing, and saw Phil Neville over the England team, and the background story to that, and how are they doing, and like, you just start to get it, I suppose.
Then England missing a penalty in a World Cup. You know, how Irish are we that we kind of celebrate it?
Exactly. You know what, that's great. Like, it didn't matter whether it was men or women.
We still
in a World Cup, you know, and I think that's a real step forward. And I suppose the next thing now, I suppose Camogie's in the mainstream when I start being happy for teams losing, losing in the hurling as well. I'm not going to mention any team names or anything with that, the coverage of the soccer has been brilliant, you know, and it's actually a shame that it's over now, but it was a real, real step forward for women's sports, I think, you know.
Yeah, we then moved to the Junior Camogie in Group 2, Kerry 11 points, Limerick 1-5, and then Offaly 2-10, Waterford 1-11.
Yeah, it's fair, I suppose. Kerry are the team that should win this competition, really. It's a really unusual story that they all kind of play for the same club, and it's basically their club team wearing Kerry jerseys. And I know Ian Brick has gone in over them there. They had their own, I suppose, political issues, to put a, want of a better word on it there, at the start of the year. Look, there's some great players, like some real top quality Ashburn Cup players, like Sarah Murphy would have been a big player in the Ashburn Cup for UL a number of years ago. Patrice Diggins is as good as anything that's out there, a real top class Ashburn Cup performer for UL over the years as well. With Jackie Horgan there in our panel as well. Like, Limerick were very competitive. Limerick have two separate panels. There's no crossover. They're one of the few counties who don't have a crossover between their first and second teams. For them to be that competitive is really good as well. Look, the junior championship, I think, is there for Kerry to lose, really. They've good management, good players, and they'll be expecting to go up the steps in September, I suppose.
And the weekend in the senior championship, Group 2, Tipperary, another good win, 2-12, Clare 1-7, and then Cork, as usual, 2-20, Dublin 9 points. Clare, though, battled hard in that game with Tipperary.
They did, they battled very hard. I think they show all the signs of a young team that are kind of finding their feet. At this level, like, there's no doubt about it, it's probably harder in the Camogie again because the step up from minor to senior is massive. At least in the men's, you have that under 20 grade that kind of bridges the gap a little bit. And I've said it before, Clare have a lot of players playing at a high level in the Ashburn Cup. They missed Aoife Keane and he came on as a sub. Ciara Grogan was out through injury as well. Two of the best defenders in the game, and they'd really missed those. But Clare Heher was really, really impressive in the heart of the Clare defence. And look, they tried hard. They were lacking a bit of punch up front, I suppose. Chloe Morey was back playing for them, but maybe lacking that bit of firepower. Dre O'Keefe set the forward for them. She does play kind of a deep lying, more almost a defensive centre forward role going back. But Clip were very, very impressive. And I suppose the two wins under their belt in the last 7 days under Niamh Lillis, the new manager. Look, it really looked like a team who's kind of got a boost in energy from having a different voice in the dressing room. Cáta Van was very, very good again. Maud Ryan gave an absolute exhibition in defence. And I suppose like they did their best to free her up at times. Clare dropped playing quite defensively. And like, you don't want a player like Maud Ryan on the ball because she's so, so accurate coming out of defence. She's just picking off passes, driving tip on. But look, they're really, really starting to come together. They have a lot of talent. They did it without Orla Dwyer, who's out injured. They did it for a lot of the game without Karen Kennedy, who went off injured. But they have a real athletic midfield. Megan Ryan, Irina Friday, just up and down the field. And look, caught the van of the series forward. Irish McDonald chipped in with 2-2 as well. She would have been on our Ashbourne Cup panel and team this year in UL as well. So they have all the quality. And look, if they keep going the right direction, they'll definitely fancy their chances of being there, thereabouts again. So the start of the year, we tipped them to get to the last four. And
yeah,
it's looking more likely now that that will happen, you know.
And obviously, Cork doing what Cork do best.
Dublin just haven't fired at all this year, have they? I mean,
no.
They have a lot of good players. I don't know.
You had question marks over them at the start, though, didn't you?
Yeah, look, I never rated them, I suppose. I don't mean that in a harsh way.
Being honest.
I've seen them a couple of times. It's just an honest appraisal of them. You know, we would have seen them training quite a bit, and I suppose over the years, as you get more and more experience in coaching, you can learn a lot from watching a team's training sessions over a period of time. They used to train on the pitch beside us in Abbottstown. You know, Frank might turn around and say that he saw us training and he knew Cork was going to beat us by 30 points as well. So, yeah, look, they have a lot of good individual players, but they just don't seem to be firing. No, look, you never judge anyone on getting hammered by Cork, because they're just a class outfit. They've just quality all over the field. Gemma O'Connor down the middle, Chloe Sigerson, Libby Coppinger, just top performers. And look, Linda Collins and Amy O'Connor are really, really firing for them this year. We talked about Linda Collins on the podcast before. Used to have her at the Ashbourne and Mary Eye, and look, she always had that eye for goal, and she's so dangerous around the square. And look, they're motoring away nicely now, aren't they? And they're top of the table, and they're going to take the direct route into the semi final. And sure, look, Cork, they're going to be there. But
then we had the Waterford Meath game. Just talking to Ray Gavin, he's trying to do his best with Meath. It's just trying to get the best out of them. Like, as you said about Dublin, Nick, Dublin have some very good individual players. And I suppose with Meath as well, that's the big thing for Ray. And it's a massive step up as well then when you're playing some of the top teams.
It is. Look, they ran into a Waterford team as well who are just really hitting top form. Like, they played nearly four games, I suppose, because obviously we talked before about their game with Tipperary. It was called off quite late into the game. Look, they got hit for five goals. Beck Carton got two, Andy Fitzgerald got two. You know, you'll have a lot of people who even were coaching you well and that, and they say, they think Betts is kind of one dimensional kind of player, and they can mark her and that, and wondering what they're talking about. Like, she's just performed day after day after day after day. And we mentioned earlier on there, like, she's just nailed on to be in the All-Star team again this year, just the performance she's putting in. But the key for Waterford this year is that everybody else around her is stepping up. Niamh Rockett is having the season of her career. She won two again on Sunday. And young Annie Fitzgerald, the last year's minor, two goals. And like, she's a real up-and-coming star there from the St. Angela's production line as well, the top-class schools player. They have a lot of good forwards. I see Fiona Morrissey back there as well. She captained the Ashbourne team for me and Mary Eye one year. A real leader, a real big physical player. And Trish Jackman is back in the heart of the defence. And look, they're just moulding into a really, really classy outfit. You know, I suppose they're a little bit unlucky now. They're probably likely to finish third in the group the way the fixtures are working out, which would probably mean they're going to end up playing Galway. And if, I suppose, that game had gone on in the rag and they had beaten Tipperary, they would have had a quarter final against Limerick, which they would have seen as a very winnable game, I suppose. So they're a little bit unlucky, but they're not going to fear Galway, and Donal will have his homework done on them when it comes to it. But yeah, they're really, really flying at the moment. So they're the surprise package of the year, because we did tip them to get out of the group. But they're performing at a level higher than, I suppose, a lot of people would have thought they were capable of outside of their own camp.
I think, though, last year, because sometimes with counties, you know, you can have a good year, you can make the breakthrough, and then the following year you might be able to live up to the hype, or you might be able to live up to the aims or that you've set yourselves. Whereas Waterford have done that, which is great to see. They've kind of continued on.
They have, and like, I suppose a few small things can really derail a season, you know. Like if you're talking about a small pool of players, you know, with the likes of Waterford, we had it in Limerick as well. You know, all it takes is a couple of players to go in a J1, or you know, someone to move away for work or whatever. And if you lose three or four players, it could be actually a season changing thing. You know, whereas I suppose Cork there are flying. You know, Ashley Thompson isn't playing with them. it doesn't really matter. They just have the players to fill in, you know, or Galway can play without key players. You know, they play without Niamh Kilkenny there one weekend and they just slot in Kieran Murphy and away you go and it makes no difference, you know. So, like, but I suppose the key thing for Donal this year is he's held on to everyone and added players. And that is the dream scenario. Like, if you can have a good year and add in fresh new talent, that is just, that is where you want to be as a coach or as a manager, and that's the situation they're in, you know. Look, I do feel sorry for Ray Gavin. We've been in that position before, yeah, where you're trying to make the step up from intermediate to senior, and it takes years. It's just played at a different pace, different level. And his challenge now would be to keep everybody there and, like Watford, try and add new talent to it, because if you have a high turnover of players, you're just starting from scratch. It's started every year, and it's very difficult.
Right, we then move on to the intermediate. In Group 1, Cork 3-14, Dublin 6 points, Antrim 3-17, Kildare 2-5, and another good win for Westmeath and Johnny Greville. Westmeath 2-15, Kilkenny 1-11.
Yeah, Johnny was delighted with that win. He said it was their best performance in 4 years, and I was chatting to him yesterday. That's a highly rated Kilkenny team. We've mentioned before, they have a lot of the players that won the Intermediate All-Ireland in 2016, and they have a lot of the DCU Ashburn team. They got to their first Ashburn semi-final this year. Westmeath were absolutely flying on Saturday. They just hurled out of their skins. I think Kilkenny only got the goal in the last minute as well, so it was actually a comprehensive win. That intermediate is tough. There's 17 in their group. Only 2 go through out of it. And so they have to play Cork now as well. So they have a couple of big games coming down the line. But yeah, they're after blowing that group wide open again with that win on Saturday, you know. So fair play to them. Like, I suppose it needs to mention as well, Cork won that intermediate last year and are going out with a brand new team this year and are absolutely flying as well.
Something else.
And like, that's a serious achievement. Like, it just shows the strength and depth that they have down there. I don't think it's ever been done that a county has won the intermediate 2 years in a row with 2 different teams. That would be just a phenomenal achievement if they do that. And you know, it's something that might fly under the radar a little bit, but yeah, we'll be keeping an eye on them. If they do pull that off, that would be, you know, hats off to them. That would be fantastic.
In Group 2 then, Down 4-27, Carlow 5 points, Laois 1-11, Tipperary 16 points, and then Derry 2-13, Wexford 8 points.
Yeah, good performance there from Derry. I know they had their own struggles. I think they got a couple of players in from outside. They got one of the slot Neil players in, just from Antrim. Name slips off top of the tongue now, but they seem to have pulled it back together. Wexford, I suppose, for a long time people were saying that the Wexford intermediate team was better than their senior team with the kind of the going on in the camp, but they seem to have faded away a little bit. Good win for Tipperary as well. Obviously, they would have been affected by Bill Mullaney's stepping down as manager as well. So they've kind of kept things ticking along there. They're obviously the Division 2 league champions as well. And look, Carlow are another team that are kind of struggling with that step up. In that, like, they just don't have the pool of players. They're pulling from a small number of clubs, the same as their senior hurlers. They have some really, really good players there in the Nolans and the likes of those, but just struggling with that step up. And, you know, it's difficult for them. They'll probably end up back down junior again, maybe at some stage, and be a little bit more competitive. But yeah, so the intermediate is kind of shaken up. It's hard to know who's going to win it, really. There's a lot of good teams in intermediate. It's probably one of the most competitive intermediate championships that are out there in a long time. There's no standout contenders for it at the moment, so that'll be a really interesting championship to keep an eye on.
And then, speaking of the junior, Roscommon 2-8, Clare 13 points, a 1-point win for the Rossies. And Armagh, good win over their Ulster rivals. Armagh 4-18, Tyrone 8 points.
Yeah, it was a good win for Roscommon. That's a decent Clare side. They have a lot of players coming through from their minor teams that were in All-Ireland finals and Munster finals and stuff there the last couple of years, and coming through the school system with Flannans and a few of their players, like the Sinead Powerleys would have played with the UL Ashburn team and stuff like that. So it's a really good win for Roscommon. Again, I still think, as we said earlier, I think Kerry are the team to beat in that junior championship. You know, if they keep everything on track, they had the experience of being in Croker last year and stuff as well. But yeah, there's a lot of good performances going in there, the junior, and be interesting to see how it pans out.
And obviously, we had games that were cancelled due to an outbreak of gastroenteritis.
Yeah, it's been a bizarre year in the Camogie Championship. I think, like, there's never seen so many incidents. I can't ever remember a manager stepping down halfway through a championship campaign, like Bill had to do for health reasons in Tipperary. There's 2 games postponed in Tip Waterford match, 5 minutes to go, the Antrim Westmeath game in the intermediate, And then this, like, I don't know why I'm laughing, because it's obviously very serious for the girls to pick up the illness, but it's just another bizarre incident again. Wexford played Limerick and Cork and Finney, and like, the junior game was between Kerry and Limerick, and the drinking water caused the breakout of gastroenteritis. And it's just another thing. I was like, what's going to happen next in the Camogie Championship? It's just, it's what's around the corner now, you know. It's just waiting to see what happens. But look, the Cork and Finney club have been a really good supporters of Limerick Camogie. They've always made their venues available and stuff like that. So I do feel a bit sorry for them, because they've got a bit of, I suppose, unwanted publicity, kind of negative. Nobody's blaming them.
Yeah.
So just to put that out there, you know, that, like, they have been real good supporters of Limerick Camogie, and I think they'll be a little bit embarrassed by this week. But look, they're not to blame. It's obviously an environmental issue there, but it's unfortunate. I suppose Offaly will feel, obviously the illness will have an effect on players, but Wexford seem to be kind of getting their act together now, and I think maybe Offaly might have wanted to play them last Saturday and get them while they're still only getting their act together, with another 2 weeks training behind them and a kind of a solid performance against Limerick under their belts. Wexford might just fancy their chances of turning over Offaly this weekend though, with that extra break, as long as, as I said, obviously the illnesses haven't affected their training too much, you know.
Speaking of Wexford, and obviously we spoke about hurling referees now in Camogie, Magus Darcy. You know, a while ago, Philly McMahon said in football that he could never see a female going in there and coaching at the top level. Well, Mags has done it, Camogie, in hurling. She's part of Davy Fitz's backroom team, goalkeeper coach, and it's fantastic to see that.
Yeah, I actually remember back when I was coming up through ranks underage and stuff like that, a woman called Bridget Downs was actually a well-known female coach of hurling in Limerick. Were quite successful. Her son Ger, who would have worked with in the past, has actually managed coached the UL freshers to win the Fresh All Ireland hurling this year. So it's not an unusual phenomenon. I suppose it's like anything, is there, how many females are trying to get into men's coaching? You know, like, it's kind of a, I suppose, it comes to self-fulfilling prophecy. It's not like there's hundreds trying, as far as I can see, and all of them getting turned away. So it's an unusual one, but like, it's like, fair play to Mags Darcy. Like, I don't think she should be viewed as a female coach. She's a coach.
She has to
be female. She's a Leinster Championship winning coach now. Like, so Fiona McHale, who plays the O'Connor Cup at UL, she's up in Mayo, I think, coaching Claire Morris, or one of the top. I could be wrong with the club now, but it's one of the top club teams in Mayo. Like, in our own setup in UL, like, Cahill Devan does a lot of the coaching. Niamh Ryan, Sheila Moynihan are involved as well. Like, there's top class female coaches out there. Look,
at club level, that's where it is. There's still that, you know, a lot of guys won't allow, or kind of are wondering about the female coming in on their patch. I've noticed that.
I don't think it's an anti-female thing.
No, they've become a bit weary.
I've noticed it. Look, I coached in Clare for the last couple of years there in the club scene, and like, I couldn't get over after the first 12 months, then you'd see in the Clare Champion or whatever, the new management teams for all the clubs, and it's the same guys, but just with different clubs.
Yeah.
And there's a circuit there of all these old guys that have the whole thing wrapped up and kind of nod and wink, and yeah, I'll take this code, and you take, you know, it's hard for young coaches to break through. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female, it's hard for young coaches to break through. I do think there is a bit of that sexism out there, where your old time males in GA clubs and counties will look at a female coach and think she's not as good as a male coach based on gender. I do think that exists, there's no doubt about it. But I think it's hard for young coaches to break through, full stop. But like, I'd be with the Ashburn again, UL next year. If I went down and took the Fitzgibbon Cup team, I'd have no problem bringing the whole management team on block across and doing that. And I think they would be perfectly capable of operating at that level. And, you know, I think the players would respect them. It's about the message you're bringing. It's about the changes in performance you bring along. It doesn't matter what your gender is. Players are smart these days. If they can see that you can help them, it doesn't matter what your age is, what your gender is, they'll buy into it. You know, so I think it's going to become a more and more common thing. But the other side of it is, you know, how many females want to get into it. So I wouldn't worry about the number of females involved. I'd be more worried about the percentage of females that want to get into it versus the ones that can't, I suppose, if that makes any sense, you know. But yeah, look, I know myself as a manager, I wouldn't have any problem. As long as the coach is capable, to me, it doesn't matter what your gender is, what your background is, as long as you can do the job, you know.
So we're heading into the last two rounds of games. Psychic Sully, what do you predict?
Yeah. Look, it's interesting. I suppose the groups are shaping up probably fairly close to what we thought. Group one, Kilkenny have 3 from 3. They're on 9 points. They've obviously already played Galway. So it's looking likely like they'll top the group there and go straight through. Group two, looks like Cork going to top the group. Limerick and Galway are guaranteed to qualify pretty much in group one as well. And it's looking like Waterford and Tip will qualify out of group two. I suppose next weekend's games will tell a lot. Cork go home to Meath. That's not really going to have any bearing on the outcome of the championship. You'd expect Cork to win there in group two. Tip Dublin game. If Tip can win, they'll go to 9 points. It means Dublin can't catch them. Waterford at home to Clare, if they win, they'll go to 9 points as well, which means that Dublin or Clare can't catch them either. So they're two big games in that group. In group one, Offaly Wexford really the relegation battle next weekend. Galway and Limerick will decide who finishes in second place in the group. So it is still looking like how we predicted, that it will be a Galway-Waterford quarter-final on one side and Tip-Limerick on the other side. And they'd be two really interesting games. Like, Waterford would really fancy a crack off Galway. They're just a real young, confident side at the moment. And look, Limerick will have the shackles off. They always play better when there's no real expectation of them. And having got that monkey off the back now, just trying to get out of the group and making the knockout stages for the first time, that would be a real cracking game, Limerick and Tip. With Cork and Kilkenny waiting, the winners of those two games in the semi-final. So that looks like how it's shaping up, you know?
You know, when you're even just talking about those games, you've got this sense of anticipation, don't you, really?
Yeah, look, the Camogie Championship, I suppose, is really shaping up, and you're kind of rubbing your hands together. You're just waiting for the big teams to collide in the knockout stages and just see what happens. And yeah, I think you probably guessed my voice. There's a real sense of anticipation there to see what's coming down the lines. And but look, that comes every year. It's just the skill levels are getting higher. We've talked about this before. The conditioning levels are higher. Just from an entertainment point of view and as a package, it's just Camogie has never been in a better place, you know. And look, we're not going to keep rehashing it. They need to sell it a little bit better and put it out there. But look, if it's the same as last year, and I haven't done my research on this, so I'll put my hands up, but they did show the quarterfinal, semi-final and final live on RTE last year. So I hope that's the same again this year. And I've no doubt that people will buy into it and watch it if it's on, you know.
Yeah, because group games are grand, you know, and it's kind of maybe some teams kind of finding their feet. But when it does get to knockout, when it gets to quarterfinals, and that's when the real hard hits are going in, and that's when we see who really wants it.
Yeah, look, when it's back to the wall, as you know, we've talked about a lot of players over the last couple of weeks, like Linda Collins, Scott Devan, Amal Ryan, Beth Carton, you know, Amy O'Connor, all these players, Gemma O'Connor. Like, it's when the chips are down and the backs of the wall. That's what makes them so great. They're still the ones that are going to do it for their counties. You know, they're the ones that always step up on the big day. And, you know, you'd often hear about a player, what's he like? You know, if you're up 4 points, he'll put you up 8 points. You know, he's kind of a, once you're going well, he'll chip in or whatever. But, you know, the real great players are the ones that go to the well every time, you know, when you really, really need it. And all those players you mentioned there like that, and when they start colliding in the knockout stage of the championship, you want to be there front row, front and centre, you know, watching these, you know. So I didn't give any predictions for next weekend games. I kind of dodged your question there, but I suppose group one, Offaly Wexford, as we said, is a relegation battle. It's a straight shootout. Whether the relegation makes any difference in the senior championship or not, like, there hasn't been relegation in a long, long time, because a lot of the time the second team wins the championship, but they can't come up. And for some reason, when Meath won it, nobody went down, as far as I can see. So whether it matters or not, I don't know. I suppose from a progress point of view, or from a trying to build for next year point of view, it's their last chance. It's Offaly's last chance to get some points on the board. Wexford's last game is at home to Galway, which is a daunting enough task. So both teams will see it as their last chance to get 3 points on the board. I was impressed with Offaly's improvement in performance last weekend, and I think they will have enough in the tank to get over the line. They're due to get Becky Bryant back. We spoke about her suspension from the minor championship before, and they'll be hoping to have Siobhan Flannery fit maybe as well, and Michaela Markham back. And like, they're three huge players. If they get those three back, I think they'll have enough to beat Wexford. Galway Limerick and Athenry on Sunday, real interesting game. Limerick have a mixed record against Galway at senior level. 2014 and 15, they would have beaten Galway in the league and drawn with them in the league. But in 2015, the championship took quite a heavy beating from him. That's gone back a couple of years. Took a big beating off him in the league semi-final this year as well. So Tim and Dara are shrewd guys. They'll have gone through that tape of that match forensically and tried to identify the threats in Galway. But I suppose the problem with Galway is, like, where do you start? You know, they have threats all over the field. They're just such a really top-class side and a real potent forward line. And look, they're very hard to beat up in Athenry. And I think they'll have too much for Limerick there, you know. Group two, Cork v Meath. Poor Ray, you know.
I know.
5 goals against Waterford at the weekend, and look, I've been there, Ray. If you're listening, tough when you're with a team that maybe is trying to make that step up, and you're just trying to look for positives and perform again, and just keep putting up performances. Down to Cork to play Cork. There's no doubt that Cork away in the championship is the toughest game. You know, there's no game tougher than that. And look, that could be a big score down there for Cork. You know, whether Paddy will use it as a chance to give players a run out or not, I don't know. I know their attitude down there kind of is that you don't get given a soft championship jersey; you have to earn it, and they don't just put people in to give them game time. So yeah, it could be a daunting one for Meath. Tip Dublin, the Tip have just hit a vein of form. So the worrying thing for them is that they've been starting games and starting halves really well. They shot out of the traps against Clare the weekend and again after half time and then faded both times. They did the same last weekend against Waterford. You know, is it a conditioning issue? I don't think so. They look as fit as anyone else. Maybe it's a mental issue, or are they just staying focused enough for the whole game? They look like a team that if they do concentrate for the full 60 minutes and manage to give a consistent performance over 60 minutes, they could really turn it on someday, and Dublin will be hoping that it's not Saturday. Because I think Tip will have too much there. And the last game in the group, Waterford versus Clare. I said earlier, Clare improving all the time. They've got some really good young players, but going down to Waterford now, down to Walsh Park, to face a Waterford team in fine form, that is a massive task, and I think Waterford will have too much for them on Saturday.
Before you go, Sully, we need to get your nominations for the last two weekends for Player of the Week.
Yeah, I suppose week before last, we've talked about it already, Waterford Tip game came down to two of the country's best forwards. I suppose Beth Carton caught the band. Not doing any of the rest of the players a disservice, but it really just was a battle between those two to see who was going to haul their team over the line first. Caught, obviously, got Tip over the line first, so the two of them are the two nominees there. And Niamh Mulcahy hitting 11 points again for Limerick. She does it so regularly in Limerick that we almost kind of take it for granted. It's like, what did Niamh score today? What did Mull score today? You know, 12 points, again, 11 points. You know, it's just, like, she's top scorer in the championship, and so I don't know if she get the credit she deserves, but now that they're into the knockout stages, maybe she will. But, so those three players were the nominees, and I suppose the deciding factor is the significance of the Limerick win that puts them in the quarterfinal for the first time. And a bit of local bias, of course. I'm going to give it to Mull this week. So, yeah, Player of the Week for that weekend is Niamh Mulcahy. This weekend, I suppose, Mary Ryan. While Ryan was absolutely outstanding for Tipperary, just a real leader, driving the team forward, that bit of grit and determination. So, catch a game with a scuff of the neck when it really matters, was really, really good. Beth Carton was excellent. For Waterford as well, and Linda Collins was really, really good for Cork. But I suppose because Beth got nominated both weekends, I suppose it's only fair to give it to her this weekend. So yeah, Player of the Week this week will be Beth Carton for Waterford.
So congratulations to Niamh Mulcahy and Beth Carton, our Players of the Week for the last two weekends. Listen, Sully, thanks as ever for the chat. We look forward to seeing how your predictions go and how the games pan out in the next few weeks. So until then, slán go fóill.